Hey everyone, we have a very special episode of Comedy History 101 for you today on the history of Don Rickles and the mob. The catalyst for this is, you might have seen the movie, The Irishman, where Don Rickles, played by comedian Jim Norton, we forgot to mention that in the upcoming episode, has a little run-in with gangster Joey Gallo's Crazy Joe Gallo. But before we jump into the episode, quick plug, tonight, December 6th, 8 p.m., I'll be performing at the Crane Theater. I'll be performing my solo show, Harmon Leon's American Horror Story. Come out for that. December 13th and 14th, I'll be in San Francisco at Piano Fight, 9 p.m., performing Friday night, Jokioki, my show, stand-up comedy karaoke, Jokioki, and Saturday night, once again, San Francisco edition of Harmon Leon's American Horror Story. And before we jump into the episode, take some time to give us some stars on Apple, iTunes, make some comments. That's why we've been off for a while. You know, we need the cash for advertising so we can do more episodes for you people who we care about. And without further ado,
you're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
It was my day. When I first started out, it was a lot of sand and a lot of guys that talked like, hey, Frank, what do you want to do later?
Yeah.
You know? And these guys went to college.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I see.
Anyway, and they all sat around smelling their guns. And,
smelling their guns.
That's right. Smelling their guns. Pass it. Anyway, smelling the guys. There was a lot of wise guys, and then you know, everybody was Vito Boom Boom, Charlie Barbarano. You know.
Yeah.
My luck. A couple of those guys will be alive, and you'll see me up here like this.
Now, are any of those guys still alive?
Nah, they're all dead.
That's good. Thank God, because it can be dangerous if you're talking about
those
guys.
No, there's no chance. They're dead. They're dead.
Yeah. Are you sure?
If they're not dead, I got a problem. Oh!
Wow. So what you heard there was a clip from the David Letterman show. Remember the David Letterman show, Scott?
Yeah, I do. I enjoyed the David Letterman shows.
Yeah, and that was the legendary Don Rickles talking about his time working for the mob in Las Vegas. And, of course, you've tuned into another episode of
Comedy History 101.
Where we school you in comedy. I'm Harmon Leon. We've been off for a while. And with me is Scott Kalonico. We've been off for a while.
Yeah, that was that. Why do you make like a scary ghost noise when you do school you in comedy?
Oh, because we're just emphasizing the point that
we're haunted by the ghost of
comedy. Comedy is what you're going to be schooled in.
Oh, okay. But that's wiser.
Because we school you
right,
in
but
comedy.
Why is there a scary ghost sound? That's what I don't get that part.
Oh, are you all right?
Yeah.
Are you haunted by the
sick
ghost sound?
I'm sick.
Do you need a cookie? would say Don Rickles?
I need a little shot of Mr. Warmth is what I need, Harmon.
Ah, Mr. Sunshine, yes.
Yeah.
What was he? He was called the Merchant of Venom.
Yeah, that's horrible.
that was one of his titles. Yeah. But he was. But as his song would say at the end of comedian Don Rickles' act is, he's a nice guy.
Yeah,
that was his big closing song. I'm a nice guy.
Oh, he is a nice guy, dude. He's equal insult comedian.
I think just before we jump into the theme of this episode, I think Don Rickles is up there with like Moms Mabley, who we have talked about on this podcast on our episode on the history of Moms Mabley. He started out, I believe, in the 40s as a stand-up comedian. Definitely he started in the 50s. But through time, he actually kind of grew more into his character, like, the older he got. Like, he died at the age of 90 and was performing up until the end. Where at the end, it was just, like, kind of funny, just like a really grouchy old guy.
Yeah, but that, which he was when he was younger, too, so.
Yeah, yeah. Just like Moms Mabley would play, like, in the 40s, she would dress as an old lady and then eventually just grew into the character of actually becoming an old lady and equally as funny.
That's what
as in her. Actually, I would say like in her later days, she was funnier.
You think so? Okay,
because she just had that edge to her.
All right,
but the reason why we're talking Scott, the reason why we're talking about said Don Rickles. Hey, Scott, do you have the Netflix?
I do. I watch the Netflix. Yeah.
On the Netflix, have you watched the movie that everyone is raving about, The Irishman?
Yeah, I mean, we can rave or not rave about it. I'm about two-thirds of the way through. I'm enjoying it.
and then how many weeks has it taken you to get
a
that
couple
far?
Weeks,
oh,
yeah.
It's a long movie.
It's a couple weeks, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
but
it's good,
yeah.
You know.
I think it's good. I mean, I think they could easily have broken it into like a mini series, you know, a la what we see, you know, a lot on Netflix, you know, several parts.
Yeah.
Again, though, there's a thing about Scorsese as sort of a thing in later era Hitchcock. No one's going to say no to him.
No, that's the thing. That's
if he's going to make a 3.5-hour movie, no one's going to say maybe make it a little short.
Yeah, no, that's the same thing, you know, with George Lucas going, maybe not have a talking racist, you know, cartoon character in your movie. Nobody's going to say no. A la Jar Jar Binks.
Were you talking about CP?
No, I'm thinking about Jar Jar Binks, dude.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we digress a little bit. But what ties us into this episode is there's that scene in The Irishman of... Scott, who is playing at the Copacabana?
Don Rickles. Don Rickles.
Yes, yes. Oh, my God. This is tying all together from what we were talking about up front.
Mm-hmm.
Don Rickles is playing... there's an actor playing Don Rickles performing at the Copacabana.
Right.
And he's performing for said notorious gangster Crazy Joe Gallo.
Crazy Joe.
See, it's okay to laugh. I make fun of everybody. That's why God put us on this earth, to laugh. I work everyone. I make fun of blacks. I make fun of Jews. I work gypsies. I work Italians. Well, not those Italians.
No.
It's okay, Joe. I got the money. Oh, shoot. Be very careful about what you say. But all kidding aside, happy birthday, Joey. Shantai.
What do you know about Crazy Joe Gallo?
And
don't spoiler alert how this story is going to end. But prior to his death, what do you know about Crazy Joe Gallo?
Well, let me just say,
was he crazy?
Yeah, that is what I'm going to say, dude. He was.
Was his name Joe?
Yes, that is what I'm going to say. I'm like the guy that did do his book report in school. I would just say he was a crazy mob character.
Oh, God, is that as vague as you can get?
Yeah, that is it.
Man. I mean, crazy is in his moniker.
Yeah.
Or we could have used his other moniker, which I also know is The Blonde.
The Blonde, okay. Well, you saw, but you've been to the where he got shot. Did you have been to?
Oh, you're getting spoiled.
No, my God, okay, all right.
Another story. But no, I guess if you've seen The Irishman, you know that the night that Joe Gallo got gunned down on, I believe it was like his 43rd birthday, he went to go see a show of Don Rickles.
Ah, okay, yeah.
That's right. So I guess what we want to get at is how accurate or inaccurate The Irishman was. But before we jump into that scenario of what happened that night with Crazy Joe Gallo, do you want to make some going back in the way back time machine music? Like sound effect for us? All right, let's go back a little bit. Perfect.
Hold on, wait, we're not there yet. So,
oh, wait, there's a little bit more?
Yeah, it's got to slow down, time machine.
No, you can extend it longer because we have the power of
no, it's done
to
now.
Shorten it
no,
to
we're
the
there.
Right
It's worked.
Amount.
It worked. The time portal worked.
So Scott.
Whoa. Okay, hell.
Oh, my God, dude. Can you wipe off that microphone
before? Jesus. Oh.
Before you let that that business podcast money talk,
I know. Before crazy,
use your microphone after
crazy
you in
Joe
the studio.
Comes in here. Yeah, yeah.
So Scott, was it common or uncommon, as seen in the movie The Irishman, for comedians to play? Oh, dude.
Yeah.
What's going on?
It's cold and flu season, dude. And in the frozen north, dude.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, Scott, was it common or uncommon for comedians to perform in front of mafioso gangsters back in the day?
It was, because let me tell you a little history here, Harmon. This will be my
contribution. Please do, yes.
So basically what happened was back in the 1920s, you had it was prohibition. Like, you couldn't drink legally in the United States. Now, actually, technically you could drink legally, but you couldn't buy or sell booze. I think that was the deal.
Yeah. Also, just a footnote on that. It was kind of put into place to be kind of racist.
Oh, really?
Prohibition.
Okay.
Yeah, because it wasn't so much about not having alcohol. It was so much about the gathering place of the local tavern.
Oh, yeah.
And let's say, as far as immigrants go, who was, like, say, in New York, congregating in the local tavern as sort of like a community hall, new immigrants.
Oh, okay.
So back then, just to show us how our racism paradigm has shifted, the racism then was such new immigrants as those shifty Irish and those crazy Germans who would all kind of gather together. Yeah. So in a sense, besides, like, just sort of taking the standpoint that there shouldn't be alcohol, it was, like, also about breaking up these gathering points of new immigrants congregating in the tavern.
Well, it didn't work very well.
Yeah, but so Scott, if you were a rich guy, how would that work out for you?
Well, it didn't really matter.
Let's just say if you're the guy who looks like the guy on the Monopoly box.
Yeah, okay, with my top hat and my monocle.
Wearing and some spats.
Yeah. Well, I would head...
Could you go drink?
Yeah, I would head down to what was known as the local speakeasy, which is usually probably one of these old taverns, but they've just kind of pretended that it was closed. And then usually more often than not run by some Italian immigrants who would smuggle the booze in from out of the country, usually Canada for the most part, Canadian whiskey, or make it themselves.
As we've seen in The Untouchables. Yep,
or make it themselves in your bathtub gin. But you'd go into these speakeasies and you could get yourself, watch a little bit of a show, get yourself a gin, martini, or what have you. But then when Prohibition ended, the
1933,
thanks to FDR, saved the country. And so what happened was Prohibition was repealed. So the people who controlled all these speakeasies, the mob, were left like with these huge empty buildings. So what they started doing was converting them into nightclubs, because that was the best way for them to. They figured they could make money because they had a big establishment and they had access to booze. So, like, why not put on a show? Because before, like, the appeal of the speakeasy was that you couldn't drink liquor, so you had to go there.
Right.
And later on, they had to, like, hey, well, what we're going to do is we'll put on a show. So that's where then you had the big explosion in the 1940s of, like, singers, dancers, and stand-up comedians.
Ah, so, Scott, what you're saying is said speakeasy had to change its business model,
more or less, yeah, and which leading which actually comes to the stand-up comedian, because this is actually supposed to have originated as a mob term, Harmon.
Yeah, well, we've heard it, like, in Goodfellas and whatnot. Like, he's a stand-up guy. Yeah. He's a stand-up guy. Right. So at the time, not only did the mob also run such nightclubs, but they also ran professional boxing. So there'd be the term, like, he's a stand-up fighter. And, you know, as they would say, he's a stand-up guy, they would refer to comedians as, he's a stand-up comedian.
Yeah. Yep, that's it. So that's where we get our
I always thought it was because they were standing up.
That's what I thought, too. But
it's a good thing we do this podcast, because we educate ourselves. Well,
we do,
as well.
Indeed. We can learn. We can learn from ourselves.
Yeah, so like you were saying, is they had to shift the business model of the speakeasy. So before, they had, you know, the goons standing at the door going, who do you, you know, you always had to do like a password as they look through like a little thing that you open up. They now became sort of the public face of the nightclub that would be kind of like the greet the public. And of course, like in the 40s, saw the rise of Las Vegas through one, say, Bugsy Siegel, who was actually kind of one of my people, a Jewish gangster.
Yeah, well,
so, come on, don't take all the Mr. Passports.
Hey,
all the
right, hey. Well, you know what's interesting is that I was when you're doing the like where the mob first started, like. Getting their hold was like Miami. Miami was like Las Vegas before Las Vegas, and so Miami was like where all bets were off or on, as they would say.
Yeah,
yeah. So you had your yep. racetracks, your gambling, your not speakeasies, but your shows, your hotels, your beaches. It was all there.
Yeah, and that was part of the Cuban Revolution. Was. Who was it? Batista was the president at the time of Cuba, and it was essentially becoming mob run. And you know, back in the day, just going with the comedian aspect, Jerry Lewis played in Cuba, so essentially they were just turning. I guess the phrase was they're turning Cuba into the whorehouse of the Caribbean.
Hey.
I forgot who.
Hey.
No, it was a quote. That was actually a quote from I forgot who said it. And thus, you know, turn the rise of Cuba wanting to take back their country by one, say, Fidel Castro. Yeah, and there's actually that scene in The Irishman where they're selling weaponry to the Cubans fighting Fidel. Because it was the mafia trying to take back or win the island or kind of doing like a Ronald Reagan and funding the Contras.
Oh yeah, well, what's even weirder about that scene is the guy who greets them, and they don't really make a big deal out of it, but the guy who greets them,
Big Ears?
No, the other guy, the guy who greets them is was it Big Ears? Maybe it was Big Ears, but it's David
it's Big Ears.
David Ferry, who figures in the all the JFK assassination conspiracy stuff, who was a real guy, and that's the guy who Joe Pesci played in JFK.
Oh wow! And so, what's the conspiracy theory? I know we're completely off the course.
Yeah,
of comedy,
we're not. It's all right.
You know, it ties back together. And what's the JFK conspiracy theory with Big Ears?
He was running guns for Castro. They were running guns into Cuba to help fight Castro, and they're doing it through New Orleans. And somehow, like he was hooked up. David Ferry was hooked up with Lee Harvey Oswald, and everybody said they didn't know each other. And then this picture came out of those two guys like hanging out, you know, at this.
So David Ferry was a lot like Trump.
Yeah, he was like
where he never says he knows anyone, and then the next day later, there's a picture of them with their arms around each other, smiling.
Yeah. So that was kind of an interesting little. What would you say? Interesting little cameo, if you know what you're looking for.
Oh yeah. Did not know that. Did not know that. But like you said, you know, nightclubs popped up. The business model was in Miami, which got taken to Las Vegas, and throughout all these speakeasies, pretty much every major city in America had a nightclub. Baltimore or Philly or New York. You know, some had several nightclubs, and if they did have a nightclub, chances are, more than not, it was run by the mob.
Right. That was my point.
Yeah. Which brings us to, going back forward to our catalyst of this episode is, of course, if you're a comedian, you performed in a club owned by the mob, and before we jump into the scene in The Irishman, there's always these great interview clips. Like I heard this great one with Bob Newhart, so the shift from the mob owning, like say Las Vegas and running nightclubs, to what is now, which is basically corporations owning the casinos, was in the 70s. And Bob Newhart, he actually said he kind of liked it better when. I think he called it like the fellows ran.
Yeah, the outfit, or what they called them. Yeah.
Yeah. They said it was kind of just like, it was the thing about the mob was they were showbiz people.
Right. They were the business of show.
Yeah. So they really kind of cared and looked after their performers. Most case in point, Frank Sinatra.
Right.
Yeah, so if you were a comedian, you did work for the mob of that era, as, you know, Don Rickles did in 1972, where he was playing at the Coca Cabana, which I didn't think was still around. It's actually still in New York.
Is it? You should go visit. We should do like a whole...
Yeah, I believe it's on like 60th Street. So I thought that was like one of those places like, you know, the Cotton Club that, you know, kind of just went out of business years ago. But it's still there.
It's like the fake cavern in Liverpool.
Liverpool.
I will let you expand on the Irishman scene, Harmon. And before, but sure. Before I want to set it up a little bit. This is like the whole thing about how serious the mob guys are about. You know, like if the mob booked you to play at one of their clubs, you play at one of their clubs, right? Mm-hmm. You didn't go to like, you know, another gang's club or something like this. Have you heard of a comedian called Joey Lewis?
Joey Lewis, wasn't he in Some Like It Hot?
He was more of a comedian. He was just kind of a TV comedian.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Scott, I haven't heard about Joey Lewis.
Yeah, actually, he was just in a bunch of movies in like the 30s and 40s. Anyway, he was playing at one of, in Chicago, back in the 20s, roaring 20s, he was playing at one of Al Capone's clubs, and he decided that he didn't want to play there anymore, so he decided to go just, you know, unannounced. Before mentioning this to Mr. Capone, he decided he'd just go play another gang's club, and they found out about it, and two of Capone's lieutenants found Joey Lewis, beat the crap out of him, and they cut his neck. Thinking he was dead and left him for dead, and he didn't die, wound up living, and Capone felt so bad about it, he gave him $10,000 to kind of help get him better.
To help his throat?
Yeah, so that's how...
Wow, so the man's got a heart of gold.
Yeah, my point would be that's how serious the mob took comedians playing at their clubs.
Yeah, yeah. And again, there's that classic story of Shecky Green. Mm-hmm. Do you know Shecky Green?
Shecky Green, yes. Comedian.
Yep, yep, yep. So I think he pissed off the mob and Frank Sinatra saved his life.
Yeah.
But he saved his life by saying, okay, I think that's enough,
yeah,
guys.
That's because he was insulting people. Yeah, I mean, there's those guys. There's Pauly Shore's dad. Who was one of those, Sammy Shore, who was one of the kind of, when he was starting out, somebody got shot in a mob hit in one of the clubs he was performing at, and he just picked up a trumpet and started playing "Oh, When the Saints Go Marching In," and apparently he kind of covered it up, so like enough of the audience didn't freak out, and the club owner was like, "Oh my God, you saved my club." You know, and booked him another 2 weeks. And then if I could just touch on one more kind of mob based comedian, there's a lot of them. So there was
Larry Storch.
Larry Storch. There was Rosemary from Dick Van Dyke Show. She played in a lot of clubs that were owned by the mob. She had some stories. And what was interesting was Pat Harrington Sr., who was a Canadian comedian who kind of ran with some of the big guys back in the day. They would open up. Jackie Gleason was kind of part of his act where they would play these mob clubs. But Pat Harrington Sr., the father of Schneider on One Day at a Time, Pat Harrington Jr. So this is a little...
Oh, wow. Yes.
That's another Netflix tie-in. Isn't that on Netflix right now? They're doing like a reboot.
The updated One Day at a Time.
As if we
So Larry Storch was from F Troop.
Yeah,
wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah. And but he was like a blue kind of comedian too. Like he
yeah. Yeah. So I think he went to go work in Vegas, and he turned up, and the first thing they asked him is, "Can you drive a car?" Uh-huh. It's like just sort of like, you know, I'm here, I'm doing the comedy. Yeah, but can you drive a car? Right. You know, just so I think they wanted some extra duties
from
him.
They wanted him to run a few errands for them.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of colorful characters, which also I forgot that the guy's name from who was actually on the TV show The Sopranos, but one of the guys from The Sopranos actually. After The Sopranos became the manager of, I think it was the Improv in Las Vegas. So they had a guy be the manager who played a mobster on TV.
Oh, okay.
Be the real life manager of the I think it was the Improv in Las Vegas. One of those big Las Vegas, which I was just at. I was just in Las Vegas, and it's crazy now that every casino has a comedy club.
Did you go to the Improv? Did you go watch some of the Chuckle Bucket? Who's the guy from?
No, I mean, what's the guy I was there working, but
from What About Ray? What's that show? Ray.
What about Ray? Ray Romano.
Yeah, what was his show?
No, but Ray Romano's in The Irishman. Yeah, yeah. Oh, see, it all ties in, and he's great in that. Yeah, he plays a serious role.
Brad Garrett. Like, that's the dude. He's got.
He's got his own club there. Yeah. Yeah. Also, the Comedy Cellar, which is the mainstay best club in New York, because it's a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
But all the logistics are kind of almost perfect. They have a room at the Rio.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. There's a room everywhere. Wow, like Hooters Hotel, where I was staying, has a comedy room.
Wait. Hold on. That's a whole other episode, dude. You stayed at the Hooters?
Yeah. Oh, they call it the Yoho or something like that. I say two nights at the Palm and then
wait, I want to hear
two nights at the Hooters. Yeah.
I want to hear about the Hooters Hotel, man.
Yeah. It's called like the Yo-Yo or something like that.
No, I don't.
They rebranded it.
Oh, okay.
But, it was cheap.
All right. Fair enough. All right.
But my point is there's comedy all over Vegas once again.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Let's get back on track.
Right, getting back to The Irishman, which is the story of Frank Sheeran. Mm-hmm. Am I pronouncing that?
Sheeran, he's Irish. Well, it's Irish Man. That's the name of the movie.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, so it was Crazy Joe Gallo's birthday on April 6, 1972. He was celebrating his 43rd birthday. He's in the club watching Don Rickles. And again, there's that kind of interplay with him and Don Rickles where he's sort of insulting him. And if you think if things don't go right, it's going to go horribly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it ends up going horribly wrong for Crazy Joe Gallo because later that night at Umberto's Clam House, in Little Italy, he was accompanied by his sister, his wife, his daughter, and his bodyguard when in The Irishman, Frank Sheeran entered and shot him dead.
Yeah.
So, first of all, in The Irishman, that chain of events, that actually did happen. So, he did see Don Rickles that night, but there's people that say that there was several people that came in and gunned it down. It wasn't just Frank Sheeran in the same way that probably other people were involved with killing Jimmy Hoffa.
Right.
Spoiler alert if you haven't seen The Irishman.
Okay. All right. So don't spoil it for me because I don't know what happens to Jimmy Hoffa. Do they find him? Do they find where his body is?
Yeah, he's okay. Yeah, he's right. In Hawaii.
He's okay. Yep.
Yeah, but so Rickles actually had a kind of a bit of a relationship with Joe Gallo. I don't know who said this, but for an insult comic, it's probably best to have more than one protector. Luckily for Rickles, he had the protectors everywhere, the chief among them, his doting mother. Oh, wait, I guess that's his mother.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I guess that has nothing to do with Crazy Joe Gallo.
No, but just but there's it does this, has to do about mob people in general.
Yeah, so here's a story that Rickles had. I'm at the cabana. I'm working the room. The place is packed. Everyone went up into the lounge in those days before the second show was on. I would be out there, and my mother would be with me. She was very strict. She was like a Jewish patton, very strict. So we're in the Copa, and the gallows are there, and my mother walks over and says, "The only way you get to talk to my Don is if you put your guns on the table. Guns must be on the table," I said. "Mom, will you stop it? Will you stop it? I know what I'm saying," she said. Joey Gallo and all his guys put their guns on the table, and I was sitting there with five guys with their guns on the table.
Yeah, so...
Ah, I see. His doting mother was his protector.
Yeah, yeah, doting mother was...
That's what he was
saying. Yeah, that's what he's... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so Scott, you want to tell us about this other time when Rickles was playing in New Jersey?
All right, this is back in the, I think we're in the 50s or 60s. No, actually no date on the story. But Rickles played a gig in New Jersey. He's up on stage. He's singing a song. Apparently he would burst out into song. It's an all-around act.
I'm a nice guy.
Yeah, he was up on stage, and he looks out in the audience, and he sees a very beautiful woman out in the audience, and then her boyfriend, according to him, resembles a small gorilla, right? So he just knew. He knew that guy was connected to the mob. So Rickles on stage just goes, "Is that your wife?" And the guy nods yes. And then, "Geez," Rickles says, "she looks like a moose," right? And then
and they probably made this noise.
Yeah, yeah. And then he got all mad. So apparently what happened was that Rickles knew somebody back in Brooklyn who told the Mr. Gorilla Man to kind of back off, and then he said, "You're okay." That was basically it. You know, he said he was at Rickles at a show a couple weeks later, and he's relaxing backstage, and then the gorilla walks with his wife on his arm, and the guy says, "Tell me again," to Rickles. He says, "Does my wife look like a moose? You pick it up there."
Oh, yeah. So, like you said, the guy threatened him. And so Rickles, you know, being connected to the mob through all the clubs he played, made a phone call. And the following night, he called him Mr. Charm, the guy who insulted, who threatened him. He returns a completely different man. Apparently, he got a call, and without missing a beat, he puts his arm around Don Rickles and says, "You're right, she's a moose, you crazy bum, I love ya."
You crazy bum.
I love ya. So I guess the biggest connection to the mob and Don Rickles has got to be, what's Frank Sinatra's middle name?
Francis Albert Sinatra, man.
Would have to be his friendship with Francis Albert Sinatra.
Yeah, because he was like, Don Rickles was actually kind of the unofficial sixth member of the Rat Pack, or seventh member of the Rat Pack. He was like the extra Beatle.
Really?
Yeah, he was.
He's like George Best.
Yeah,
George Martin.
Yeah, he was almost in there. He was almost part of the Rat Pack, but I guess Joey Bishop and Peter Lawford edged him out. That's kind of sad. They should have let Rickles in there.
Oh yeah. So there's always these great clips of just, you know, first like on the Dean Martin roast of Don Rickles roasting Frank Sinatra, and he always does like mob jokes to Frank Sinatra.
Frank, may I say publicly to you, is the bomb of the year. Dick Haynes would have had a turnout. It's all over, Frank. I know you don't like to hear that. It's gone.
And there's also this crazy clip of him, like Frank Sinatra guest hosting The Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm.
And having Don Rickles on. So there's a story where 1957, an unknown Don Rickles is performing in Miami, and he looks in the crowd, and there is Frank Sinatra along with, you know, a bunch of kind of thuggish-looking guys. And back then, like, Sinatra was known for, you know, beating people up or having people beating up or just kind of just shameful bullying.
Right.
And meanwhile, Rickles, he of course is an insult comic. So he took a swing at Frank and he said, "Hey Frank, make yourself at home," adding, "Hit someone."
Yeah.
Yeah. So a little bit of tension in the room. Yeah. Everyone looks over to see what would Frank do, because he had like 12 guys with him who most likely had guns on him. And Rickles' comment was, "If he didn't laugh, I'd be on the Jerry Lewis telethon."
Yeah, see, there you go.
Yeah, but then since then, in 1957, like I said, like on all the roasts and whatever, you just see Rickles like just doing mob jokes to Frank.
Yeah, because he can get away with it. He's just like, yeah.
Marco Mangananzo was hurt.
Marco Mangananzo.
Fambino Bombazzo. 2 bullets in the head Thursday.
Yeah, you earned
and
it.
So,
yeah.
which lastly brings us like full circle of Don Rickles in the mob when in 1995 he had a kind of good feature role in what movie, Scott?
That was Casino, Harmon.
Ah, and what is the movie Casino about?
Well, I mean, Conda right there, dude. No, it's actually the tale of, I can't remember the gentleman's name, but it's a tale of a casino owner in Las Vegas, kind of as the city grew and his casino grew. What was the name of the gentleman? And didn't know, I was going to be quizzed on that. I could talk about the movie.
Edit point. Yeah.
Casino. Robert De Niro played him.
70.
Oh, Sam Rothstein. Oh, yeah, Sam Rothstein. Yeah. So it's kind of like his rise and fall as the owner of a casino in Las Vegas. Also, another notable cameo in that is Joe Bob Briggs. The famous redneck movie guy, Joe Bob Briggs. He plays one of the casino.
Oh, yeah. Really? What do he play?
He's only in there for like a minute. He plays the casino manager, and Don Rickles actually yells at him in the scene. It's actually pretty funny.
I don't give a shit who he's connected to. Tell him to take his fucking feet off the table. What's he think? This is a goddamn sawdust joint?
Sir, would you mind taking your feet off the table and put your shoes on, please?
Yeah, I would mind. I'm having a bad night.
Fucking asshole bunch.
Yeah, so you have Don Rickles as sort of the pit boss in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the casting was perfect because Martin Scorsese said, yeah, he wanted to cast Rickles because he was like, you know, he was considered like a Las Vegas fixture, wanted to give the film more authenticity. And Rickles was, a frequent headliner at several casinos throughout his career, such as the Sands Casino. Did the movie take place at the Sands Casino?
No, it was made up. It was a fictional. It was like a fictional version of the Sands. It was called the Sahara or something, I think, if I remember correctly.
There used to be a Sahara.
And it was some made like Taj Mahal or something. I don't know, dude. It was some made up one.
Yeah, so it was easy for him to act in Casino because he was basing his performance off, kind of the real people he knew through the years.
Yeah, no, pretty a good actor. Enjoyed him in that role.
Yeah, he did a couple of dramatic roles, didn't he, Don Rickles, throughout his career?
Yeah, I mean, he was in, like, the first movie he was in, was that...
Kelly's Heroes?
Well, he wasn't that dramatic in that one, but he was in, it was like Run Silent, Run Deep, and then he had kind of like a dramatic role in that. But yeah, he was great in Kelly's Heroes, and that's where he met John Landis. The director John Landis was like a production assistant on Kelly's Heroes.
Really? Yeah. What year was
that?
It was like 70,
yeah.
Before Landis made Schlock?
Yeah, before everything. It was like he was a production assistant.
Yeah, what Rick Baker was the special guest
on Schlock.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there you go. And they would reunite for American Werewolf in London, which is going to be another episode soon.
Here, great movie. Yeah, Rick Baker has a new book out.
Does he? Okay.
And he was just on the big podcast about a month ago.
Okay.
Like on Rogan and WTF.
Oh, wow.
So he has another guy with great stories.
Oh, yeah,
so,
of course.
Yeah, so Scott, what is your takeaway on this small chapter of either, you know, Don Rickles in the mob or Don Rickles in The Irishman or just plain Don motherfucking Rickles.
Man, it's Don Rickles, dude. You know, I've known him since I kind of grew up with him. You know, even younger generations know him as Mr. Potato Head from the Toy Store movies. Man, he's always just been Don Rickles. Even when you see clips of him from back in the day, you know, he's still got a shaved head and he's still, you know, bristling with personality and he's still going to insult you. And he's always just Don Rickles, man. He's a constant, man. He's like the speed of light. That's my takeaway.
Yeah, and I love, like, you know, like we're talking about, like, Moms Mabley, just these comedians that worked all the way up to the end. And you know, same with, like, Carlin, George Carlin, were just kind of, you know, really relevant until the end.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, it just I've never seen Don Rickles live, but, you know, I would have loved to see him, you know, up until, you know, he was 90 years old.
I know. We should have seen him in Vegas at the, when the yo-yo, no, what was it? Bono.
Yeah, horrible hotel. Horrible hotel. Okay. Don't sponsor us on this podcast.
All right.
So I think that just about does it on the history of Don Rickles and the Mob. And with that, it's time to plug away. Scott, what do you have to plug?
I got nothing to plug. We do have another podcast. Harmon and I have another podcast.
Yeah.
Called This is the President, where we go into all sorts of presidential found audio, presidential goodness. And we also are mirroring this on our YouTube channel. We now have a YouTube channel as well where you can watch these short clips. We just uploaded one today of President Gerald Ford reminiscing with the Apollo Soyuz astronauts about a crab bake. It was kind of a very weird phone call. And if you've never heard President Ford, be sure to tune into this one, because quite honestly, it does sound like there's something wrong with him. So This is the President.
Did he hit his head on the spacecraft door?
Yeah, he's calling. He's not on the spacecraft. He's like calling them. Yeah, This is the President, which you can find on YouTube, and This is the President, the podcast, which you can find wherever you find your favorite podcasts with me and Harmon. That's about it.
Here. And for me, tonight, because I'm editing this tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Tonight, December 6th, at the Crane Theater in the Lower East Side of Manhattan, New York City, USA, I'll be performing my solo show, Harmon Leon's American Horror Story, 8 p.m., Crane Theater. It's all a part of a festival I'm producing this weekend, which features the best of Edinburgh Fringe Festival shows from acts that are from New York City. So check that out. And the following week, on December 13th in San Francisco at Piano Fight, I'll be doing my classic show, Jokey-Okey, which is stand-up comedy karaoke in a three-round game show. It was a hit at SF Sketchfest this year. It was a hit at the Kennedy Center in September. And also the following night, December 14th, I'll also be performing Harmon Leon's American Horror Story, San Francisco edition. So again, both those shows are at 9 p.m. at Piano Fight in San Francisco.
Oh, man.
Hey, and with that.
Well, hey.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, this has nothing to do with the Mob. But it does have to do with Don Rickles. So if you're a Don Rickles fan out there, and I kind of forgot about this, if you do a quick search on YouTube for Don Rickles and Johnny Carson, have you heard about this, Harmon?
No, go ahead.
Basically what happened was somebody was guest hosting for Johnny Carson. I can't remember who. It was back in the 70s. And Don Rickles was a guest, and there's a cigarette box on Johnny's desk. And while he's doing the interview, Don Rickles was playing around with it, and he breaks it. Right. So the next day they're doing the taping of the Johnny Carson show, and Johnny Carson finds a broken cigarette box. And then he figures out that Don Rickles is filming, or they're videotaping the sitcom CPO Sharky, like in the studio next door.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
So he just kind of marches over there and confronts Don Rickles about his broken cigarette box. And the cameras follow him. So it's kind of funny. So it's this little,
funny.
Little TV,
like,
history.
Cinema d'arte.
Yep, a little TV history moment if you're looking for something about Don Rickles, but sadly nothing to do with the Mob.
Oh, wow, that was like a predecessor of kind of just taking the camera out of the studio thing that Letterman sort of mastered. Interesting.
Yes.
All right. Yes. And with that, thanks a lot for tuning in.
Comedy History 101.
And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
Yes, ma'am. I read you loud and clear. Yes, ma'am. This is the president.
Hey, everyone. Scott here.
You just finished our Comedy History 101 podcast. So you like comedy and history. Then you should try out our other podcast, This is the President. In every episode, I dig up some found audio from one of our presidents and play it for Harmon, who's never heard it before. Then we talk about it. From Truman to Trump, we cover all your favorite presidents and not so favorite ones. You can also hear Harmon sounding off about current events and the state of America today. And if you're lucky, you might be able to catch us reading customer reviews of Trump products on Amazon. You can subscribe to This is the President on iTunes, Google Play, Last.fm, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Just search for This is the President, subscribe, and together we'll make America great again.